He stared at me for a moment, then carefully placed it on the table, raising his hands in mock surrender.
Anything you say, Marshal.
Sheriff. He nodded, picking up a pack of cigarettes and then lighting one of the book of matches from the table, taking a deep drag and studying me.
In Wyoming?
Yep.
What are you doing up here?
I sighed. Trying to find out who is threatening Jaya. He nodded, taking another drag and expelling the smoke toward a window partially covered with a bedsheet.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
Mr. Lane, have you ever heard of a group called the Northern Brotherhood? He glanced at me.
Yeah.
Are you a member?
Not really.
He waited a moment and then added,
Look, Sheriff, you know I've been inside, right? Well, if you ain't a member of something, then you're a member of nothing, and you get chewed up and spit out. I took a look at the lay of the land and figured as half Indian and half white, it was time to be all white.
He took another puff of his cigarette.
It ain't exactly Rotary, you know.
I'm sure. I walked toward the adjoining kitchen, every available surface stacked with dirty dishes and questionable groceries. A lot of the threats were of a racial basis, which leads me to believe that this organization might be involved. And with the number of threats and numerous locations the notes have been delivered to, it might be someone who knows Jaya.
You think I'm threatening my own daughter?
I turned in the kitchen doorway. I thought she wasn't your daughter. He snorted a laugh.
Yeah, well, that was when I thought you were sent over here from Child Services.
I'm not. I handed him the file. Copies of the threats. I thought you might like to take a look at them. He tried to hand them back, but then settled for laying them on the coffee table beside the shotgun.
That's okay. I've seen this shit before.
I thought you might be able to recognize the handwriting or the paper. Something? He twisted a cedar bead ghost bracelet on his wrist, a type I'd seen before.
She gave me this, you know. One time, a long time ago, I took her and Jaya down to the Dry Fork on the north end of the Bighorns trying to teach them how to fly fish.
He laughed into his lap, placing a finger under the bracelet and studying the beads.
Jeannie was flailing away with his old eagle claw rod I had, and I just told her that she was getting too close to Jaya and me when she stuck a size 10 fly into my neck.
He looked up at me.
I mean, she was 8, so she thought she'd killed me and started crying, so I started gulping and fell down, flopping on the bank like I was a fish, and she'd landed a big one. Pretty soon we were all laughing, and they piled on top of me.
He continued to finger the bracelet, especially the cedar beads.
About a week later, Jeannie gave me this. Nothing special, but she must have used up all the money she had to buy it. You take it, Poppy. It'll guard you against ghosts.
He swallowed.
I guess she should have kept it for herself.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lane. He cleared his throat and looked up at me, releasing the bracelet.
So you think somebody I know might have something to do with this?
Well, the whole purpose of an investigation is to discover things that you don't know. He stared at me for a moment and then flipped open the file and leafed through the pages, slowing as he got to the end and then finally handing it back to me. Well?
Nope.
He smoked the cigarette some more. Nothing looks familiar?
None of it looks familiar to me other than the shit I've had thrown at me my whole life.
There was a knock at the door, and he looked at it, not moving. You want me to get it?
No.
The knock sounded again, a little more persistent, and he stood, leaning toward the window to try and peer past the stained curtain. Ducking his head back, he motioned for me to be quiet, holding a finger to his mouth. A voice called from outside.
I saw you, Jimmy. We know you're in there.
He called back.
I'm busy. Go away. Open the door, Jimmy.
He said nothing, and I stood there, waiting to see what was going to happen next, but it was pretty undramatic when somebody just turned the knob and pushed open the door. From my perspective, I could see 3 guys standing on the abbreviated porch, and they could see me.
Howdy.
The biggest took a step inside so that he could now see Jimmy, still seated in the corner.
Hey, Jimmy,
he glanced at me.
You've got company.
Yeah,
Jimmy stood and glanced around, still puffing on the cigarette.
An old buddy from down on the res.
The larger one stepped in, and I got a better look at him. He was tall and wide, with the look of a weightlifter. He had a lot of tattoos, a shaved head,
and a goatee.
How you doing?
He extended a hand. Pete Schiller. I gave him mine. Walt. He shook just a bit too long.
Just Walt?
Just Walt.
You don't look like the Rez type, Walt.